This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So this week's Parsha Shir, Parsha's Truma, there's so much to say. Let's begin with the very first Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'yikchu li Truma me'ez kodesh ha'sheid venu libo tikchu es Trumasi. Famous Pasuk. I saw something very interesting in the right, in the Shulchan Gevaya, lovely Sefer, a liquid of lots of Divrei Torah, and he quotes a lovely idea by Rav Shlomo Zalman Zeiv of Vilna. He was a Talmud of Rav Itchela of Volozhin, who was the son of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and he makes an interesting observation on the first Rashi in the parasha. First Rashi famously says, V'yikchu li truma li lishmi. When it says, V'yikchu li truma, take for me truma, it's got to be done lishma. And there's lots of discussion why exactly this has got to be done lishma. But I saw a very interesting answer to this question, why the li lishmi, specifically with truma, in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Zeiv from Vilna. Let's take a look at the second box on the handout. If you're listening online, please email me j.golka@gmail.com. Bier Hagon Shlomo Zalman Zeiv Mevilna. He explains. Be'ez bikur she'orach b'yeshiva in Volozhin. One time he came to visit the yeshiva in Volozhin, and he said the following explanation. Omer b'maseches brachas. The Gemara says in brachas at the very end, daf samach gimel, lomo nismach ha'pashas sota l'pashas trumas ha'maisras. What is, there is a juxtaposition in Parshas Noso between the Parsha of Sota, the famous case of Sota, and the Parsha of Trumas and Maestros. Says the Gemara, what's the juxtaposition? Lo melacha, to teach us. Kol sheyesh le Trumas and Maestros. Anyone who has a field and he needs to give Trumas and Maestros, Trumas to the Kohen, Maestros to the Levi, the ein the nois and the Kohen, and he chooses not to give it. He's stingy. He doesn't want to give his Maestros, his Trumas, I mean, to the Kohen. So if nitzrach l'kayin alidei ishtei, the punishment would be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take him to task and he'll need the kayin. You're holding something back from the kayin. If you don't give truma, you're going to need the kayin. How so? Alidei ishtei. That a person's wife will be unfaithful to him. She's warned, and despite the warning, she secludes herself with this individual and she has to go through the whole sota process. That is the juxtaposition, says the Gemara in Brachas Samach Gimel, explaining why the parsha of Trumas and Maestros is next to that of Sota. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Zeiv of Vilna, V'chi yodua, tzorich ha-kayin limchik es Hashem b'mayim. Where is Shem Hashem? When a person comes and has to go through the whole Sota process, you write the Shem Hashem on a piece of clay, and it goes into the Mei Sota. And the Mei Sota erases the Shem Hashem. That is the water which we, of course, get the sota to drink, and that's going to ascertain whether or not she is innocent or guilty. And therefore, Lozos Pirush Rashi, that's perhaps what Rashi is alluding to. The Yikhuli Truma, take for me Truma, encourage the Jewish people, Dabe Abnei Israel, the Yikhuli Truma, Li Lishmi, for my name, Kilaman Shmi Mutav Shehidnu Truma Slachshav. For my name, please make sure they give truma. Because if they don't give truma, then you're going to have to go through the sota process and my name will be eradicated. You won't have to come and erase my name. It's a very very interesting insight. What it means in Rashi, lilishmi. Encourage them to give truma, because otherwise my name is at stake. It might have to be erased in the episode of the sota. Okay, let's press on. A very interesting insight I once heard from Dayan Erentro, Shavu Fush Lema, in the name of Reb Leib Gurvitz. I apologize, I gave a shir last night somewhere, one-off shir, and I said there was no overlap in the material for those who were there for tonight. That is true apart from this particular vart, so I apologize for the repetition, but Chazora is good. So this idea I heard from Dayan Erentro in the name of Reb Leib Gurvitz, the famous Rosh Shiva of Gateshead. Let's take a look. We're now talking, Parshas Truma deals with the Kalim of the Mishkan. And perhaps the most famous of these Kalim is the Aron HaKodesh, which houses the Luchos. So says the Pasuk in paragraph 2, this is Perek Chafei, Pasuk Yud Beis, V'yotzakta lo arbet habos zahav. You've got the Aron HaKodesh. Now the Aron HaKodesh is a rectangular shape. Here you go. This will be my prop for this evening. You've got, it's literally this sort of shape. You've got a rectangular shape, and you've got, it's 2.5 amas by 1.5 amas. Now, says the Pasuk, that you put four little rings on the Aron, So you put two rings on one side of the Aron and two rings on the other side of the Aron. And then you take two poles made of wood, but you overlay them with gold. And then you put the poles in the rings, and that way you can carry the Aron. Now, the question is, where do the rings go? What are my choices? Look at the box again. This is the Aron HaKodesh. You've got the long side and you've got the short side. I could put the rings on the short, on the narrow side, on the width, one there and one there. Here's my ruler. And then the badim, the poles, will be along the width of the Aron. Or you could put it along the length. You put one ring over here, one ring at the back, and then the poles will be carried that way. So which way do you carry it? Like that? Or is it like that? Which way do you go? Says Rashi on the Pasuk, Pa'amosov, Shtayim Mikan, L'rochvei Shel Aron. You put the poles, you put the little rings in the corner on the width of the Aron, and therefore your Badim are going to be one on that side and one on the other side. So you've got 2.5 Amas in between the two poles, so for the Levim to carry it. Says the Pasuk, Shtayim mikan v'shtayim, says Rashi, means shtayim mikan v'shtayim mikan, l'rochvei shel aron, v'habadim nesunim bohem, and the badim will be on them, v'orch shel mafsik min habadim, and the length of the aron will be between the two poles. Amosayim v'chetzi, 2.5 amas bein bad lebad, between each pole, shahoyu shnei b'nei odom, because you're going to have two people there, hamosim es ha'aron, mahalchim b'neim, v'chim mafurish b'menachos, because the width of a person is one amma, and therefore you need two people in between the two poles. And if you put the poles this way, one over there and one over there, and you have the only 1.5 ammas in between, you're not going to have the room for two people in between. That's the Rashi there, and it quotes the Gemara Menachos. Let's take a look at the Gemara Menachos. Staf Samich Tzadi Ches, sorry, on the base. Next box. Minolam de Bedadam le Pusu de Aron Hu Yosvi. How do you know the Badin, the poles are going to be on the width of the Aron? Dilma la Orcha de Aron Havi Yosvi. Maybe they're on the length of the Aron. Says Rash, says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda, Trei Gavri Ba'am So Palga Lo Mistagilu. You're not going to be able to fit two people in 1.5 amas. I mean, Nolan the Ba'abo, Havu Dar Luhu. How do you know there are four people carrying it? Because it says, V'nosu Hakosim Trei, Lo Yisya Migdash Nami Trei. Two and two is four people. Fine. Atkan the Gemara, Atkan the Rashi, all very clear. One problem. The problem is, when you carry the Aron, you don't actually have to be inside the two badim. If this is your Aron, and you've got one pole over there and one pole over there with the two people in between, yes, it's only 1.5 amas in between them, but you don't actually have to have two people there. Surely you could put the Aron on your shoulder, and all your shoulder needs to be inside where the Aron is. So why does the Gemara assume that it has to be this way around, and you've got one pole over there and one pole over there with 2.5 amas in between because you've got enough room for two people to stand in the middle? Why do the two Levim have to stand in the middle? Maybe they could, and two Levim behind them standing behind, maybe they could stand on the side and they'll just put the bad on their shoulder, just their shoulders are on the inside. You don't need 2.5 for that. That is the kasha of the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes asked this on the Gemara Menachos. Says Dan Entra in the name of Rav Gurvitz, beautiful answer. What the people carrying the Aron represent supporters of Torah, literally. The message is this: when you support Torah, or indeed when you're involved in any communal enterprise, it's not good enough just to put your shoulder in, just to write out a check and just be Yetzer Zayin and just say, I've done my bit. You have to put your whole body inside. When you support, when you're involved in askonis and some sort of communal activity, you've got to give your whole self, your whole being. And therefore the Gemara says, it has to be that the Aron is this way around, with one bad there, and 2.5 amas in between, enough room for two people to stand side by side, because they're supporting, they're involved in this important enterprise. It's not good enough just to put your shoulder in, you've got to put your whole being, your whole body, your whole essence in to fully give to this important cause. Wonderful idea. Okay, let's press on. Again, this next idea I also saw in the Sefer Meshulchan Gevoya, and this idea is in the name of Rav Zalman Sirotkin. Says the pasuk, "V'nosata el aron el es ha'edus asher etin elacha." What do you put in the aron? Says the pasuk, "Es ha'edus." What is that? What actually goes inside the aron? This is the famous aron which goes in the kodesh kadoshim. What goes inside there? Es ha'edus. What does that mean? Says Rashi, "Ha'edus ha'toyra shehi le'edus beinu v'nechem," which is testimony between me and you. "Shetzivisi eschem." All the mitzvahs that are written in the Torah. Seder. Says the Sifsei Chachomim on this Rashi, if you take a look at the top of the next page, Hiksha Hareim is Rabbi Yohu Mizrahi, one of the famous Pirushim on Rashi, Taha Besipur HaKomas HaMishkan Beparshas Pikudek Siv Vayitene So'edus Elor V'shom Pirushe So'edus HaLuchas. There Rashi explains, what are you putting in the Aron? The Edus means the Luchas. The Oid, and furthermore, the Halal Nicht of Sefer Torah, and also Faboim Shana. And furthermore, how can Rashi and Asedra say that you're putting the Sefer Torah in the Oren? The Sefer Torah wasn't completed by Moshe Rabbeinu until the very end of the 40 years. We're now at the beginning of the 40 years. But Nirali says the Sifsei Chachomim, Midichsiv Asher Etein, Eilecha Shehu Loshen Osid, it's a Loshen in the future that I'm going to give you, for Ha'aseres Hadibras Kvar Nitein, but the Aseres HaDibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already given to Klal Yisrael. Va'af im nishtabra haluchus mistom hoi Moshe Kosvon hoi mispal shiyach sa haluchus k'mesh hoi. Either way, they contain the shivrei luchus or the actual luchus that they're going to be put there. Elevada la Torah kulakoi she'u osa lichtoi. So interestingly, what actually was in the Aron was the luchus, the shivrei luchus, and the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to write on that very last day of his life. And that really is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is the Gemara Bava Basra. Anyway, be that as it may, you've got the Sefer Torah. This pasuk is referring to the Sefer Torah. So Reb Zalman Sorotzkin asked a fabulous question. Who went in to the Aron HaKodesh, to the Kodesh Kedoshim? The Kohen Gadol, once a year. He didn't open the Aron. He was there for a very, Tefillah Katzari, he was there for a very short time. So ask Reb Zalman Sorotzkin, says, this is the next box, what's the point? What's the purpose of putting a Sefer Torah in the Aron at all? The Aron HaKodesh remains shut 365 days a year. They never read from it. So what's the purpose? What's the point of putting the Sefer Torah in the Aron? It was never going to be taken out. It was never read from. What is the purpose? Tirtz, he gives a fabulous answer. Il mole sefer Torah zeh, hoyachoshosh kiyoi shom yokum, the one day, maybe man da have the yichtov sefer Torah kitzone, someone would write a sefer Torah, the yeshnabok avas nafsho, a forger, a fraudster will come along, he'll write a sefer Torah, he'll add psukim here and there, and he'll claim that his sefer Torah is the legitimate one. Uberabes hayomim tishkach teres knesinoso. And over the course of time, Chas v'Shalom will forget what the original Torah contained. Omnon. Kol oid yeda ha'om. So long as the people knew, ki sefer Torah echod munach b'tmimosi, that there is one pristine sefer Torah that has been written by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, v'taharosei with tmimos and with tahara ba'aron pnimi in the Aron HaKodesh. Oz yivachet kol echod neshanes kehuzeh. No one's going to forge it, no one's going to write and add to take away from the Sefer Torah, because they know that you've got the pristine original Sefer Torah in the Aron. Because anyone can just take that Sefer Torah out and will expose his forgery. Now, interestingly, there's a Medrash. The Medrash says in Parshas Vayelech, the next box, Rabbon and Omri, Kivin Sheyeda Moshe Shailo Lomus. Since Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life knew he was going to die, but Oseyoy made Ma'os. What did he do? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do on the very last day of his life? Omer Reb Yannai, Kosov Yud Gimel Teiris. He miraculously wrote 13 Sifrei Torah, Yud Beis Shvatim, 12 for 12 tribes, one for each Shevet, the Achas Iniach Ba'aron, and the 13th one he put in the Aron. Says the Medrash, and Yevakesh Lezayef Tova Shiumotzim Oseyoy Shavarish. That's exactly what Reb Zalman Sorotzkin is saying. That if someone wants to forge the Sefer Torah, they will take out this 13th Torah, which was stored in the Aron, written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and will say what you've written is not correct. Amazing. Now, amazingly, Zalman Sarotskin said this idea in a hesped for the Brisker Rav. When the great Brisker Rav died in the early 1960s, I think it was then, 1961 or thereabouts, the Zalman Sarotskin gave a hesped. And he asked this kasha, what's the purpose of putting the Sefer Torah in the Aron HaKodesh, in the Aron, in the Kodesh Kodoshim? No one's going to see it. And he said, because you need one pristine Sefer Torah to prevent anyone tampering and forging, adding, taking away from the Sefer Torah, because they'll be exposed straight away. Says Rav Zalman Sarotskin, listen to this, next box. The Griz, the Brisker Rav, says Rav Zalman Sarotskin, was that Sefer Torah in the Aron. Kunin Rav Zalman, as Rav Zalman lamented in the Hespet. Omnom. The Brisker Rav was not a public figure that went out and spoke in public a lot and was very visible. But he sat in his room in Yerushalayim. He did not really sort of engage outside, outside his Dalad Amos, as it were. But everyone knew that aside from his immediate circle of Talmidim that did see him, apart from that, he wasn't really out and about in a public forum. He called Oid Sheikhin Sefer Torah, but people knew that there is a Sefer Torah sitting in this house, in this apartment in Yerushalayim. HaTorah v'Makori Hazeh. He is the conduit of a Masorah, and he is sort of, as it were, the pristine Sefer Torah. B'cheder Midrashah, in his base of Medrash, in his cheder. Lo nitin l'shanas min haTorah m'umah. And no one will have the audacity, the temerity, to change anything. No one's going to turn around and change and amend when you've got the Brisker Rav, who is the sort of the shomer, the guardian of the legacy of this Masorah. And that's the hesped that Zalman Sarotskin gave to the Brisker Rav in light of that kasha on this week's parasha. An amazing idea. Let's finish with also a fabulous idea I saw in the writings of my dear brother-in-law, Rabbi Jeremy Finn. He quoted a verse from Moshe Sternbuch in the Sefer, Ta'an Vadas. Take a look, last paragraph, paragraph 4. V'samto es ha-shulchan mechutz l'paroches es ha-menorah noch ha-shulchan al-tzela ha-mishkan te'mon av ha-shulchan titin al-tzela tzofim. When you came into the Kodesh, remember, picture in your mind's eye, you've got the Mishkan, you walk in and you've got the Kodesh, and then beyond that, you've got the Kodesh Kodosh. In the Kodesh Kodosh, you've got the Aron, as we've discussed. What have you got in the Kodesh? Well, on the right hand side, as you go in, you've got the menorah. Opposite you, you've got the mizbeach hazahav, and on your left, you've got the shulchan on the tzofen. Says the Gemara in Baba Basra, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, haroitze sheyachkim yadrim. If you want to become wise, when you daven, face south. Why south? Because the menorah, which is the representative, if you like, the symbol of Chochmah, of Torah, you face the menorah, which is in the Dorim. So, Haroitz Tashayachim Yadrin. Vishayashir Yatzvin. If you want to become wealthy, don't face south, face north. Why? Because the Simonech Shulchan B'Tzofen of a menorah B'Dorim. The Shulchan is on the Tzofen, and the menorah is on the Dorim. What's the idea? The idea is the Shulchan represents Ashiras, wealth, Parnasa, and therefore the Shulchan, you face that, you'll become wealthy. The menorah is in the Dorim, you want wisdom, face the Dorim. Interestingly, that could be why some people shackle left and right, they want a bit of both. I once heard from Rabbi Lef, by the way, the key word over here is Haroitze Sheyachkin. Just by davening in that direction, it's not going to help. There's got to be a desire, you've got to want it. Okay. But the Ta'an V'Das, or Moshe Sternbuch, says a beautiful idea. Take a look at the last box on the page. But Baba Basra, Daf Chaf Hem Beis, he's quoting what the Gemara just mentioned, Haroi Selahashi Yatzvin, Haroi Selachim Yadrin. You want to become wealthy, face north. You want to become wise, face south. The Simonik Shulchan B'Sofim Menor B'Dar. Behindu, Sha'a Shulchan Keneged Ashirus, the Shulchan represents wealth, Menor Keneged Chochma, V'Nira, Sheva Mizbeach, and it appears that what is in between both of those items, the menorah and the shulchan, the mizbeach hapnimi, the inner mizbeach, not the big mizbeach outside, the inner mizbeach, asher hu bein shnehem, that's in between them both. And the remez is le'esh. What's on the mizbeach? Fire. V'hainu esh al mesiris nefesh. It's the fire, the passion of selflessness. Shebekach dafka zeichim nechol minei malas. That's how you achieve any success in life. Hein begashmius, hein beruchnius. You want success in gashmius, there needs to be a passion, a drive. So too in ruchnius. Shalidei shemoysa nafshe. When a person is moysa nefesh. V'oisik b'teira b'yegia. And he puts effort into Torah. For gam leisin stoka, and so too in gashmius, he gives money, machnes shulchano, and he feeds. But mesiris nefesh, zoicha l'shulchan ha-Torah v'limner ha-Torah. Then you can achieve both of those virtues. So a very beautiful idea is that, interestingly, sort of an addendum to this Gemara in Brachas, in Baba Basra, that if a person wants to be machkim, he should face the menorah on the south. If he wants to be mad, if he wants to become wealthy, he should be matzkin, he should face the menorah, the shulchan on the north. But what's the common denominator? The mizbeach, the esh of the mizbeach in the middle, that's the passion, which is really the key ingredient to achieve success in both. Rabbi Finn adds, from someone called Rasul Glass, I don't know who that is, but he adds a very lovely sort of postscript to this idea. Think about the following. When you're walking in to the Kodesh, and you've got the menorah on your right, the shulchan on your left, and the mizbeach opposite you, what are you facing? You're actually facing the Kodesh Kedoshim. You're walking into the Kodesh, opposite you, directly opposite you, is the Kodesh Kedoshim. So when you're facing the Kodesh Kedoshim, of course, your focus is spiritual, and therefore, the shulchan is on the right. I hope I said it the right way around. The shulchan is on the right, and that is the right is always the side of prominence. And therefore, when your primary focus, you're facing the Kodesh Kedoshim, then the shulchan, which is on your right, then that is it's okay to have a degree of importance to the physical. So when you come in, your focus is on the Kodesh Kedoshim and the shulchan is on your right. That's Beseda. The right is the more prominent side. So I can allow a certain degree of importance to the physical, to the shulchan, which is on my right as I walk in. But when I leave the Kodesh Kedoshim, leave the Kodesh, and I'm walking out, the Kodesh Kedoshim is behind me. My focus is now on the outside world. So in that situation, what's on my right, more prominent side? The menorah. Because then I can't take the risk of having the shulchan on my right, which is an emphasis on physicality, because I can't afford to emphasize the physical in addition to having that focus of the physical world, which I'm about to enter into. When I'm no longer facing the Kodesh Kedoshim. Very lovely postscript. So there we have it, four ideas this evening, just to summarize quickly. The first pasuk, Daba B'nei Yisrael, the Yikchuli Truma Rashi famously says, Li Lishmi, why here, Dafka, has it got to be Lishma? So the lovely insight of Rashi Zalman Zeid from Vilna, that the Gemara says in Brachas, Loma Nismacha Pashas, Sota L'Pashas, Truma Sam Maestras, that anyone who holds back Truma from the Kohen, Sof Nitzrach L'Kohen Aridei Ishtay, is going to be punished by having to come and need the Kohen, because his wife is suspected of being unfaithful of the Sota. And therefore, when it says, V'yikhuli Truma, make sure, encourage Tal Yisrael to give Truma, Li Lishmi, because if they go through the whole process of Sota, my name is going to be erased in the May Sota, in the whole process of the water of the Sota. There we got the idea of Rebbe Gurwitz, the beautiful idea that the Gemara says in Menachos that the Aron HaKodesh, the Badim, are going to be on the width of the Aron, because you need 2.5 amas in between for the people to carry it. The question, of course, is, surely you're just putting it on your shoulder. You don't need full 2.5 amas. The answer is, you do. Because when you are supporting Torah, or indeed involved in any communal enterprise, you can't just put your shoulder in. You've got to give your whole self. There needs to be a full investment in any project. Then you've got the idea of Zalman Siroskin, the Hesped, he said, for the Briskerov. What is the purpose of putting the Sefer Torah in the actual Aron? No one's going to see it. The answer is, it's like the village clock. The village clock is there, high up in the village center. No one's going to tamper with it. You need one clock, which is always correct. You've got the Sefer Torah, the pristine Sefer Torah, in the Aron, but no one is going to tamper with it. If someone wants to forge, to add, take away from Torah, you can always bring out, and that's the security, as it were. That's the deterrent. Or so too, the very existence of someone like the Briskerov, who is the transmitter of a faithful Masorah, then that is, no one's going to tamper with Torah in that situation. That was the hesped he gave. And lastly, the Moshe Sternbuch, that beautiful idea that when a person walks in, you've got the menorah on one side and the shulchan on the other side. Yadrim, the Gemara says that that's all well and good, but you need the equidistant between the two of them is the eish of the mizbeach to demonstrate the passion that is needed for any success in any endeavor, be it ruchnius or be it gashmius. And that final postscript, that when you're going in, then your focus is on the spiritual, so it's okay to have on the right prominent side the shulchan, the physical, that's okay, because your overriding focus is on the kodesh kedoshim, or something which is ruchni. When you're leaving the kodesh and the kodesh kedoshim is behind you and you're facing the outside world, then I need the menorah on the prominent side on the right, because we can no longer afford to emphasize the physical by having the shulchan on that side. Thank you very much for listening. I wish you all a very good week. Kol tov. Bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.